Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. All right, you get to hear another snow update from me. I know how important these are to you. So let's hear you have it. It snowed 10 inches last week, one day, which was great. We needed the snow. It was much appreciated. And by last night, and I'm recording this on Thursday, so by Wednesday night, it was gone. It took only a week to melt 10 plus inches of snow. Simply because, we're in the 40s, upper 40s and 50s every day, which, again, is just still so unnatural in these parts. We should be down in the low 30s, if not well below freezing, as we head into March. March is usually starting to warm up a little bit more, maybe in the mid-30s, but for it to be in the upper 40s and low 50s is unheard of. I'm going to do an episode next week to catch up a little bit more on the situation with the Colorado River, so you can look forward to that. There's been some really interesting articles that have come out that I want to touch on that aren't just about the current weather patterns that we're experiencing, but are also about the condition of the dam itself and some ways in which it's got some vulnerabilities. This is referring to the Glen Canyon Powell. Let's see, what is it? Glen Canyon Dam. Anyway, so that's something to look forward to next week. In the meantime, today is Friday, so we're going to talk about fascism. And as always, there's plenty to discuss. I'll tell you, I definitely look forward to the day in which I decide to switch what we talk about on Fridays and maybe focus on something else, more pressing issues, because hopefully at some point, fascism will not be something that we have to constantly be keeping our vigilance and focus on. Several of the sources for today's episode are going to be simply video links, mostly to the R Law subreddit. There were several videos there. Just from announcements and things that Trump and others made this week that I think are important. That said, there are plenty of articles and analyses on each of these as well that you can find if you're interested in digging in more. The first one is titled this, "In an extraordinary and illegal move, Trump says he's transferring $10 billion from the U.S. government to his Board of Peace, which he chairs and can therefore use the funds as he wishes." There was a lot of hullabaloo about that this week. $10 billion is no small amount of money, and he is taking it out of taxpayers' pockets, right? This is taxpayer money that the government should be using for all of its many other expenses, and he's simply transferring it to this project of his, the Board of Peace, which he is essentially using to take over Gaza, right? He's very explicitly said that he wants to make Gaza into a tourist destination, essentially, and he's gifted himself $10 billion. To do it. Who knows exactly how this money is going to be spent? Wouldn't surprise me at all if this gets transferred to him individually. Somehow he gets to spend that money on the things that he wants. And as much attention as this did get this week, it didn't get nearly enough because there's just too much else going on. But this should be, I mean, this is outrageous. This is the type of thing that is so corrupt. It is hard to even fathom. Other nations throughout the world that become these sort of banana republic, quickly devolving nations, they fall into financial ruin. There's hyperinflation, dying infrastructure, you know, all this stuff because the government prioritizes themselves. It's all about taking as much money from the system as possible and bleeding the citizens of that country dry. And this is the exact type of thing that we're talking about. We're experiencing it here. There's just a lot more cash moving in the U.S., so there's a lot more cash to suck out. I don't know if this money has already been transferred, if it's going to be moved in one big bulk thing, or if he's just going to start taking money as he wants. What is the exact mechanism for how that money is moved? How can it be moved without congressional approval? And like the title said here, this is illegal. So we'll see what, if any, issues he runs into as he actually tries to carry this out. An article from the New Republic says, turns out there was voter fraud in Georgia, but it was by Elon Musk. The State Board of Elections found Musk's PAC is Political Action Committee, sent pre-filled ballot applications. reading just a moment from this article, it says, if Donald Trump's administration really wants to find evidence of foreign interference in Georgia's elections, then they need to look no further than the president's old friend Elon Musk and his shady super PAC. Members of the Georgia State Elections Board voted Wednesday to issue a formal letter of reprimand to Musk's America PAC over the billionaire technocrat's illegal scheme to get Trump elected. Georgia, a key battleground state in 24, was the target of aggressive campaigning by Trump's team. In October 2024, the Georgia Secretary of State's office launched an investigation after receiving numerous reports from residents across several counties saying they'd received partially pre-filled absentee ballot applications from Musk's America PAC, according to John Fairvier, the State Elections Board chairman. There was evidence to suggest that the PAC had violated a state law that prohibits any person or entity other than the authorized relative to send an elector an absentee ballot application pre-filled with the elector's required information. Anyway, for as much as we hear about election fraud, it's coming from the right, not from the left, at least primarily. I saw a thing the other day talking about how in Texas's early voting, Democrats are coming out way ahead. And this was the person saying, the person who shared this basically saying, because of this, we have to pass the SAVE Act. And the SAVE Act is the one that will basically destroy mail-in voting, require these multiple forms of ID, proof of citizenship, all things which disenfranchise millions of voters across the U.S. So they're not even trying to hide it. They're just saying the Democrats are winning, and so we have to rig it. Trump continues to lie and just assume his own power, I guess. He said, quote, "The Supreme Court has given me the unquestioned right to destroy foreign countries." He's also said the same thing about destroying America. He basically just gets to say, I get to do what I want. The Supreme Court has given me rights to do whatever I want. And whether or not the Supreme Court has actually given these permissions, they have enabled him in so many ways that he can say these things and his followers believe it. And the rest of us just kind of have to sit and witness it. And, you know, not much that we can do about it. He's done so much illegal stuff that has not faced any consequences or that takes months and months, if not years, to sort through that he ends up getting away with most of it. That's been his plan here with the whole flooding the zone. And man, has he flooded it. We've got to be numbering in the multiple hundreds, if not thousands, of these types of illegal things that he has brought up, that he has done, that because there's so much of it, most of it is going to slip through. We'll touch back a little bit later in this episode on the Supreme Court. Before that, though, J.D. Vance says, quote, "We're announcing today that we have decided to temporarily halt certain amounts of Medicaid funding that is going to the state of Minnesota in order to ensure that the state of Minnesota takes its obligations seriously to be good stewards of the American people. Withholding funding to citizens who are most in need of it in order to make a political point to carry out retribution because of what happened in Minnesota with ICE." Essentially saying the governor is anti-American because he's not supporting ICE, and therefore his citizens will not receive Medicaid. It is truly evil. It is undeniably fascist. And there are more examples of this that we're going to talk about in just a moment. But on that topic of ICE, while we're here, I just want to mention a former ICE instructor testifies agents were trained to discard constitutional rights. This is not the only whistleblower from ICE that we've heard about this week. There were a couple. So this one basically saying, and this is in the Star Tribune website, saying that this former ICE instructor testified to the fact that what we all assumed is true, they were blatantly told to disregard or discard constitutional rights. Unbelievable. The Constitution, growing up, was something that was considered sacred, and not just by me. I'm not saying I considered it sacred, but the law, to go against the Constitution was to hate America, was to be un-American, and yet they're doing it blatantly out in the open, meanwhile calling everyone else un-American. There was another whistleblower this week who said that, and this one came out with his name and everything publicly, saying that the rapid increase in ICE agents has caused a serious issue with training, meaning that most of the ICE agents that are new are not being trained well, and that the organization is basically set up for failure. in as far as public safety, operational efficiency, all those things go, because they're just throwing people out on the street with guns and saying discard constitutional rights and go at it. It feels quite literally like the Gestapo. All we can hope is that, well, as this ends as soon as possible, but that true justice is served to those who are empowering this, to those who are from the top issuing these commands. We're talking about people like Chris, like Kash Patel, like Stephen Miller, like Pete Hegseth, and of course, Donald Trump. Well, shifting modes a little bit, jumping into some AI concerns, especially as it's involved in the military and in the increase in fascism. So you may have heard this week there was all of these arguments about which AI the Pentagon was going to use and for what purposes. And it is demanding that those AIs basically give them unfettered power to use that AI however they would like. So Anthropic has been already used by the government and has multi-million dollar contracts with them. It has always claimed to be one that cares about using AI responsibly, about alignment and all of these things. In an article written in DW, it says, Pentagon pressures Anthropic on AI access. Anthropic, a much vaunted AI startup, is firmly in the Trump administration's sights. The Pentagon wants complete access to its models despite safety and ethical concerns. So Anthropic has basically said, we are not going to allow you to use our AI for classified military use for things especially like potentially lethal missions carried out without human control and domestic mass surveillance. Basically, they said, we don't want anyone killed using our AI, especially if it means triggers are pulled or missiles are launched without human touch and verification. It cannot be on the AI itself to make that assessment. And we won't allow it to be used to mass surveil U.S. citizens. The Pentagon doesn't like that much, and Pete Hegseth is doing a couple of things to try and force the issue. So it says, Hegseth called Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei to Washington for a meeting on Tuesday. An Anthropic spokesman confirmed the meeting took place and told DW, during the conversation, Dario expressed appreciation for the department's work, thanked the secretary for his service. We continued good faith conversations about our use policy to ensure Anthropic can continue to support the government's national security mission. However, according to sources familiar with the talks, Hegseth made two direct threats to Amodei if Anthropic did not comply. One was to cut the company out of the Pentagon's supply chain, while the other, and this one I feel is much more egregious, would be to invoke the Defense Production Act, a measure from the Cold War era which gives the U.S. president the power to control domestic industry in the supposed interest of national defense. If they don't get on board, Hegseth will ensure the Defense Production Act is invoked on Anthropic, compelling them to be used by the Pentagon regardless of if they want to or not. The Financial Times quoted an unnamed senior Pentagon official. Hegseth wants the Pentagon to have unrestricted access to Anthropic's generative AI chatbot Claude, but Anthropic, which has long billed itself as a safety-oriented AI, is resisting. Pretty unbelievable that the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, is threatening to invoke the Defense Production Act to say, because this is in the question of national defense or in the interest of national defense, we are going to take control of Anthropic, of Claude AI, and use it in the military systems against the company's will, basically because we just get to justify it and say that it's national defense. This is so concerning for so many reasons. Anthropic has already said you can use it in your systems for all of these things, for, you know, everything you want, except for mass surveillance of U.S. citizens and lethal missions in which the AI assumes control of the weapons. Those are not crazy things to say we don't want to allow you to do. And Pete is not satisfied with that, which tells us what? Of course, he is wanting to massively surveil U.S. citizens and use AI to kill people. And he will stop at nothing to get that. That should be very concerning to everybody, and we are not making a big enough deal about this. Now, the Pentagon has also said, hey, Anthropic, if you don't do it, we're going to get someone else to do it, right? And we've got XAI, which is Grok from Elon Musk. There's OpenAI, and I think there was a couple of others in the potential running. No doubt that one of them will be willing to do it. Maybe Claude is the best and one they want the most, and they're willing to go through this Defense Production Act to get it. But what it means to me is that we are undoubtedly heading into a world in which the military is using AI in extremely harmful ways, launching us more and more into an Orwellian future. I've seen so many things this week looking through these news articles that just remind me of Newspeak and Doublethink and just all these gaslighting ways that the government talks and just how unfortunate it is that it's working, it's functioning. All right, on that note, Musk's xAI and Pentagon did reach a deal to use Grok in classified systems. Now, I don't know if the use case here is the same as what they're trying to accomplish with Anthropic, but there's not really any surprise that Musk would just do anything, right, to get his AI in the military. It gives him power, it gives him money, it gives him control, and he has absolutely no care for doing the right thing. So hopefully we will learn more about what Grok will be doing in these systems here in the near future. All right, a couple of notes on the Epstein files this week. There were a few interesting tidbits. One is that the DOJ withheld Epstein files, including allegations that Trump sexually abused a minor. There were reports that came out this week. This one's in people.com, but there's several articles talking about it, basically stating that the DOJ not only redacted, but removed. They did not report or release files that included Donald Trump in them. Not really a surprise. I'm glad that there is a report that can show that and hopefully enough evidence and proof about it. I think we all assumed that they probably were doing this. But the hope is that some of this or more of this will come to light and that more of these allegations can be made known. In the independent.co.uk, it says the Epstein files arrest of former Prince Andrew makes Trump's Justice Department look pathetic. And that's my hope, is that more and more foreign countries will take this seriously, that more consequences will be seen for those outside of the U.S., and that this could put some sort of pressure, please, right, on the U.S. government and lawmakers to seek arrests and investigations into those who have committed these crimes, and that those things can take place as soon as possible. The subheading for this article says, "The British police have taken action. Where on earth is Pam Bondi's DOJ?" You know, you often hear about, is it called Foucault's pendulum, something like that? But basically this idea that like politics swings back and forth and each time it swings a little further to the left and then to the right and then back to the left again. Now, this is a problem because each one enables the other to do worse and worse things. And especially if we're talking about more, you know, heading more towards fascism and government lockdown, I have no hope that a Democrat government is not going to utilize some of the things that the Trump administration will have put in place. If Democrats win again, my hope is obviously that the GOP faces justice for what they have committed and the things they have done, and that investigations can be done quickly and swiftly and extensively, and that we put guardrails in place to ensure this doesn't happen again. But the reality is that I could see a Democrat winning and saying, you know what, this AI in the military system is kind of nice, actually. We'll let that one stay. It's nice to be able to see what the U.S. citizens are up to, right? Or it's nice to be able to have this much more power in military decision-making. And those same types of things will be used selectively it'll have the appearance of all of this justice and action, which hopefully slightly we will be, but much of the business as usual and this new normal for the level of corruption and things that the government partakes in, it could just be a stair-step approach in that direction. But even getting to that point sounds wonderful compared to what we're experiencing now. The only hope is that we can actually rid ourselves of the Trump regime. That's going to be decided here at the midterms and in the next couple of years. On Prince Andrew's arrest, Trump had a response. Basically, he said, "I'm the expert. I've been totally exonerated." So he gets to claim and say, "I'm the expert on the Epstein files. I've basically exonerated myself, right, of any wrongdoing in the Epstein files. I'm untouchable." And he's said as much. He has said as much for years before he was elected, right? "I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue," or whatever it was he said, "and they'd still love me." It doesn't make it any more true, him saying that he is exonerated. That doesn't make that true. But the fact that he can say these things and his people still love him is disgusting. Now, his support has waned, right, a bit. I don't know. Should do some more research to figure out exactly where his support is falling from. I know, obviously, it's heavily falling among independents and some of those others that voted for him simply because they wanted a better economy. But amongst his strongest followers, the cult side of things, right, are any of them falling away? I don't know. Okay, and just some final notes here talking about the tariffs this week. There was an announcement from the Supreme Court coming out and ruling that Trump's sweeping tariffs were illegal. This article in CNN talks about, I'll link it here so you can read through it, but give some details about the Supreme Court's decision, potential impacts of that. Trump's response to this was very angry, to say the least. He lashed out at the Supreme Court, people who have been on his side primarily up to this point, who went against him on this. And he basically said, well, joke's on you. I've got all these other things that I can do. We're going to keep the tariffs. And actually, because of what you've just done, I'm going to impose a 10% global tariff under a different section, under a different ruling, basically saying he has these emergency powers to do it. And then later, he upped that to 15%. On this video, this again was one of those that was on the RLaw subreddit. One of the comments says, a declaration of an intention to violate law. He is basically saying, screw what the Supreme Court says. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And this is one of the first real cases in which he's not just going against what a lower court has said or a state court. This is the Supreme Court. And we're going to find out if there are any consequences for directly going against an order from the Supreme Court. Also, I guess from this comes some good news that he is pissing them off, right? He is calling them out, and despite their loyalty because of one ruling, he is basically going back on all that. And the hope is that some of these Supreme Court justices might just wake up and start making more decisions that don't go in his favor. This is an interesting comment I'm going to read. It says, this was the last remaining balance that he had to break. Ignoring the one remaining authority that is meant to be equal to his power. It was always going to happen because he wants nothing more than to be a dictator. Shame on you, America, anyone that voted for him or still supports him. You are making the country a laughingstock around the world and a shadow of its former self. And a response to that said, Congress has more power than the president. They just have to choose to use it. And that's really the question. And I mean, it's like this person said, it is the last remaining balance. Does the Supreme Court have the power to do anything against the president if he refuses to honor their rulings? If they don't, and if Trump can rig or simply lie about elections, then there is nothing removing him from power other than the people rising up against him. And that is what we're going to find out here, is whether or not the Supreme Court is going to continue down this sort of acquiescence, if they're going to just subvert to him, if they will attempt anything stronger, how he'll react to that, and the outcome of that as we approach the midterms. One last little note on this. In 2025, so last year when the tariffs were first announced, the Trump administration had said that they will, if it was ruled illegal, they would immediately issue any refunds to the businesses that they, you know, had tariffs against or that had to pay tariffs. And now, of course, they are denying that. They are not going to do that. At least that's what they say. And some companies are starting to sue. So FedEx has sued Trump administration for tariff refunds after the Supreme Court ruling. It says the shipping company said it was owed refunds for any tariffs it paid under a rule the high court found exceeded the president's authority. There are, of course, thousands, if not millions, of companies in the same boat that may wish to sue as well. And, you know, if FedEx wins this case, it's going to get messy because now there's precedent and all of these other companies will want theirs as well. And what does that do to the economy? Tariffs have barely increased revenue at all for the government, and the government is spending in the tens of billions of dollars on other things. They've used this money to send $40 billion to Argentina. They now paid Trump out $10 billion for the Board of Peace. So anyway, to be seen what impacts this is going to have, and it's something that we'll pay attention to. All right. Thanks for being here. Happy Friday. Enjoy your weekend. I'll see you next week. Hey. Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.